Was not. I was in Miss Donkey's room for maybe less than 2 weeks when I went to the second grade, and I was in Miss Dorothy Jones's room, and she was something else. I really liked her, and I think of her as one of my models, and that's why I wanted to be a teacher, because I think she made so much over us because we were so different. I mean, coming from a different, like way off somewhere that nobody could ever think of ever going to, you know, that she made so much over us. And I liked her for that, I guess, you know, being 9 years old. But it's a different time of my life and everybody's life. She had long, beautiful hair, thick, and a certain, during the day sometimes she'd say, I have to fix my hair, watch the doors. So I'd watch the doors. She had two doors, and she'd go in her little closet, which I think the closet was by 4x4, you know, just enough to get in there. It was a little tiny looking one. And she'd fix her hair in there and put it back up. All the teachers had long hair. Huh. All the teachers wore suits or dresses, yeah, mostly suits, I think. All the teachers were single. So this is...
That was part of the way things...
That's how it was, yeah.
Now, you said we. Who were you referring to as we were being watched or fawned over?
You mean like Miss Jones?
No, you and someone else must have been from Alaska. Were you referring to the Mellow children?
Oh, at that time, yes. Joe was, by that time, I caught up with Joe, because his father would say, you better keep going, Joe, or Hannah's going to catch up to you, and I did catch up to Joe, but...
Did you ever get lonely for things back in Beaver?
I'm afraid I didn't. There's so many things going, a lot of games to be learned and played, and I became known as the boss of the swings. The Mellows had swings and a bar where they, you know, hung by their knees or turned around and around, you know. And that's all they had, the swings, two swings and this bar. And Alberta, who lived not too far away, would come over and play, and I didn't get along with Alberta, so I'd go out there and chase her off. And so Miss Alberta's last name was Ben, and Mrs. Ben would come around sometimes and send her back up where she came from, because I could remember that, but it didn't bother me, but it just seemed that I was keeping things in some order there.
Now, what was the Mellow family like? Were there many other children that you
were with? They had six children. They had two girls and four boys.
And so you were tossed in with the family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I imagine it was pretty busy all the time with that many people.
All the time, especially when I got up, I got a little older. I was the one that was doing the cooking and the washing the dishes and lots of other work that I learned. I did not resent then, except I couldn't practice basketball or baseball, but...
You couldn't practice because you had other duties?
I had to go home right after school. And, but the good thing about it was that I think doing all this work, I was able to do a lot of things athletically in school because I really liked the athletic program. And it helped me. I didn't know it then, but I think, you know, you kind of think that maybe this was the reason why you could do this and that. The bad thing is that there in Washington, I had quite good grades, you know. But when I left school there and came to school to the college in Fairbanks, for some reason, because I was under strict supervision in Washington, and up here I was free as the breeze, as they say, and I had no direction, and so I just about lived in the gym. And so there, I am thought of as a good athlete, and nobody ever mentions my academic struggles, you know. But
well, how long then were you in Fife?
I finished high school there.
So how frequently would you come back to visit?
I never came back.
You never came back?
Never came back. But my father, on his buying trips, would come and visit me, and my mother came out once and would never go back out there again. She just didn't like it.
Hmm.
Even to see me. But
how many years was that total in Fife?
I was out there 10 years.
10 years.
Mm-hmm. I skipped a couple grades, and I think I had a lot to do with my age. You know, that mm-hmm. really helps.
Mm-hmm. Did you find any other ways that you felt different in your values or in the way people perceived you?
No, it just never bothered me. Nothing bothered me until I got into, maybe teaching profession.
Oh.
A little bit, you know. I mean, I should not have even let it get big or whatever, but it was a little something there that was not that good, you yeah. know, but...
Well, maybe when we get to that part, you can discuss that if you care to.
I might.
But right now, then, we would have you coming back into Alaska to go
okay.
to the university?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about what and when that was?
The university?
Yes.
Well, I came back and I graduated in 34. I came back in 34, September, the first part of September, the very last boat. I was a sternwheeler on the Yukon, also a sternwheeler, you know, around Dawson and Whitehorse. And my father said, do not unpack unless you have to do some washing or something, because you're going right back to school. At that time, I did not know there was a school of that type in Alaska. And so when the boat came back upstream, I had to go on, and my father came with me. We went to Circle City and took the Johnny Palm stagecoach. It was called a stagecoach, you know, and went to Fairbanks, and I entered school about 2 weeks late, but didn't know what was going on, but everything turned out fun.
What was the name of the sternwheeler? Do you remember?
I think it was called the Yukon.
The Yukon. Mm-hmm. So what was your transportation route as you came from Seattle north? Were you on an Alaska steam first and then transfer?
Mm-hmm. I did not know that I was going to be making this trip until a Mr. Mason came from Seattle and looked me up and said that I'm going to come back. Oh, he said, here's some money. You go and buy some things that you need to take with you. And he said, I'll be back to pick you up and take you to my home. And he was with the Alaska steamship,
oh.
I think. I remember his name was Mr. Mason. He had a daughter. So I stayed there a couple nights, and then I think we went on some kind of a small, you know, one is like a ferry type,
mm-hmm.
from Tacoma to Seattle. And then that's where I stayed for a while. Then, let me see, we evidently took another boat from there, another steamship or some.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the name of it, but it's still 34, mm-hmm. 1934. And I remember going to Dawson.
Uh-huh. So you must have gone up to St. Michael then and transferred there?
No.
No.
No. We didn't go to that route. We went, I think, to what they call the inside passage.
Right. Okay. So you went up through Skagway then?
Yeah, I think so. I was so sick most of the time that I hardly got off. I know we were in a Canadian boat.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry to say the boat. It's not supposed to be a boat, but that's what we always called it, you know. I don't know what to call it, a steamship or something. Yeah. I was so ill. I hardly ate.
Mm.
It was so terrible.
Was it seasickness or just some sort of...
It was seasickness.
Well, that must have been an interesting ride then coming back.
Oh, I have to tell you that when we were on the... it was a sternwheeler, Casca. It was not finished, but we were in it anyway. Some of the little rooms were not finished, but it was a new boat. There were two salesmen and two teachers and one woman who I became friendly with. And we would walk around, and there was something with her that was different, but being so naive, I didn't know anything. So on that, somehow there appeared this man called what's his name? He was something like a trader in Fort Yukon, Jimmy Carroll. And Jimmy Carroll came up to me. I didn't know him from anybody. I remember his suit was brown. And he came to me. He said, you're Frank Yasuda's daughter? And I said, yes. And he said, I don't think you should be going around with this woman. Your father would not like it. And I didn't even know what he was talking about. She was very friendly, you know. There was nobody else, you know, so I was with her quite a bit. And as I understood it better in my later life, she was one of the girls that just went around.
Uh-oh.
And I never did talk to Jimmy because I was a little embarrassed, and I wish that I had talked with him because he was a good guy. I could have talked with him, you know, and it would have been easy to talk with him, but at that time it just seems in your young life you didn't have time to do things like this. But I thank him for thinking
being
of me, being concerned. Yes. Well, that's not the end of it. Then we went to Dawson, and every place that we stopped, there was somebody there with waiting for me to come. So Mr. Mason made a very careful itinerary for me because there was always somebody to tell me where to go, you know. So this man took my case. He said, you have a room at this Royal Hotel. And so I went there with him, and it was this huge room, and the ceiling was really high, and it was so dark, and there was many drapes around this and drapes around that, and I was scared staying there. I didn't know what to do, and so I really panicked, and I grabbed my couple bags and put them by the door. Then I went downstairs to see if I could see somebody or talk to somebody. I wanted to talk to a woman. But I went around and I kept going through these curtained areas, big drapes, and I came to a little place where these men were playing cards, and they were so scary looking. I just backed out and went back up and got my suitcase and left. And I went to the next hotel. Nobody ever knew what had happened. Maybe those two hotels were together in business. I don't know what. Nobody bothered me. I just went in there and was able to stay there. Got a room. But to me, it seemed like it was better. But as I wandered around and everything, I met this woman, very nice-looking woman, and I didn't see any children around. I think it's because school was in session, maybe. And so she said, where are you going? And I told her, and so she said, well, you have time. You'll be here another night. You have time to come over to my house. So I said, all right, and we went on a board walk, which was very narrow, and went out for a long ways out to this one lonely house way out in the middle of this, like a big open space. Did I tell you the story, Russ?
No.
And when I went into this, her one big room with a little kitchen on one side, there was this huge bed. And it was just beautiful. It had pillows all around. It was just beautiful. And it was like, I don't know what, I'd never seen anything like this before. And we talked, and she gave me something to eat. And so, and when I went back, and I saw Jimmy Carroll again then. And somehow he wanted to know, you know, what happened to me. Evidently, maybe he took care of this. I don't know. Nobody ever said anything to me. But I said that I met this girl and went and told him where I went. And he said, don't go there again. And so it wasn't until a long time the mystery was, you know, I finally figured out what it was. In Tacoma, where I lived with the Mellows, we were so protected. And every move I made was a thing that was laid out for me to do. So how was I to know anything at all, you know?
Mm-hmm. And your father had obviously had Alaska Steam organize that entire...
Through Mr. Mason. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was really nice. Yeah.
What other recollections do you have about that trip back? You were in Dawson?
Coming back?
Yes.
Well, I remember coming to Circle. And we stopped there for a short time, and I saw this very big woman and didn't know, she was quite dark. But later on, I found out that she was the same woman they talk about in some of the books that people, and I've forgotten her name, but she had this most beautiful parkion that was made of ermine that people have talked about and written about, you know. She made it for herself out of weasel. We would call them weasels, you know. And I think her name was Sarah.
Hmm.
Big Sarah. That was it, Big Sarah. And then we got into Fort Yukon, and it was really nice there. But when we got into Beaver, I saw my dad. I knew him right, because I had seen him, you know, frequently going out on his buying trip. And he would when he would be out there, he would take me to different places to get me things. And I remember he bought me a beautiful ring. And I remember Alice, my good friend, we played basketball together. She said, let me try it on. And then she said, let me wear it one night. And then I never saw it again. So, but I'm her friend, and she's my friend. I see her during reunion. Well, back to that trip again. When we got into Beaver, I saw my father, and I went over to hug him. Evidently, in his culture, you don't do this hugging. And I didn't know this, because I was a little bit embarrassed, but I was hurt, too, that he sort of pushed me away in front of the engineer and the captain, and the purser, and all this, you know. Evidently, I embarrassed him, but he never said anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you have a chance to spend any time before you actually had to move back then to go to school?
Well, just that one week, that the steamer would go down to Nenana and load up whatever freight it had to take from the train or whatever, a train, I think.
Train.
Uh-huh. Then it would come back up the Yukon to go to Whitehorse, I think. Mm-hmm. And in a week, it'll be back down again, you know. It's just, it was everybody liked the White Pass in Yukon. That was a Canadian outfit, really well liked.
Was it easy to fit back into your family, or was it new?
It was sort of new in a way, but I didn't have any trouble. It was okay. I wanted to stay home. But Dad said, no, you're going right to school. And I said, I have been gone for so long, I'd like to stay home. And he said, if you stay home, you will never get to school. So I had to go.
What about your sister and the rest of the family? Did you have a chance to sort of become?
I saw my sister Bernice. She was married and had a family. And she was living in Beaver then.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I hardly knew my sister, Bernice, because she went to another school in Seattle. She lived with very wealthy people. So it was a different lifestyle than I had in Washington. In Fife, I always saw it was a farming area, but everybody had like half an acre of farm, and I thought it was a farm.
Oh.
You know, what can you think? But in that area, people had berry fields, but not close to where we live. We picked berries to make our school clothes money.
Mm-hmm.
So there were many places to make money in those years, too.
So your sister essentially had the same kind of education. She went out for her entire schooling.
Yeah, she went. I hardly knew her because she left several years before I went out. She went with a commissioner. His name was Barker, and she went out with him. He was like a, you know. But when I went out with Mr. Mello, but this woman was like a nurse on the steamboat, and I roomed with her.
Were there any things that impressed you when you got into the bigger areas?
Nothing except the girls were going barefoot. We never have seen anybody going barefoot, you know. So I just looked at their feet. I couldn't believe it. I could just feel myself looking at their feet and not knowing what to do or say or anything. But when I went out there and I unpacked, I saw that I had long johns, which nobody wore out there, you know. My mother took very good care of me. She had long johns in there for me and knitted socks, nice warm clothes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was she able to understand the difference in the climate when
she had never been out there at that time? But when she came out there, luckily it wasn't the summer, it was hot, you know. But Beaver is hotter, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interior of Alaska, it's very hot summers.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what was that period like then when you went into the university? Did you started a little late into the school year?
I started late. I had a friend later on, her name is Violet, she has passed away since, but she opened up to me one time, because when I came, and the way I looked, you would see that I came from the north, but I had what you call an ensemble on, because I bought it in Tacoma, and it was a long skirted suit with a long coat that matched and a blouse that went with it and a hat. And I don't wear hats very well, but I had this hat. And she said, we saw you coming in and you and your father sat with the prexy and we wondered about you. And we sat with the prexy with Dr. Bunnell for about a week. Yeah. I mean, I did. I didn't know where else to go. Nobody told me. But they had, afterwards I learned they had seating arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
And every week you'd be sitting in another table. But I was late, so I sat with Dr. Bunnell and two other people. But my father was with me twice at that table, and then I had to sit by myself. And Violet would say, "We thought you were from some wealthy family that you got to sit there, because hardly everybody got there on time, I guess, but I happened to be late." But the embarrassing thing to me then was we had to sit. I had to be the only girl at one table with either 6 or 7 or 8 men. There had to be this one, because that's how it was. They didn't let it. We had seating arrangements. And almost living in the gym all the time and being so sweaty and everything and being so thirsty, that's all I did was drink water, even though I had taken a fast shower, but my face would be just red as a beet, and I'd have to sit with these people, and I would eat more than these guys. But then afterwards, it didn't bother me. I just went on my way.
How many students were enrolled at that time?
Oh, I don't remember, but we just had the two dorms, the men's dorm and the women's dorm, and the women's dorm was above the dining room. So we just about knew what was cooking all the time.
Mm-hmm. What were you studying?
Well, I didn't know what to do, and I talked with my dad. He said, "Well, there's business. You could take up business, or you could, you said you wanted to be a teacher. You can take up that." Well, I don't know how I got into arts and letters first, but I think that's what I did first. And then I didn't like something, and I took up business. And I didn't like something there, or a couple things, and I took up something similar to arts and letters under education.
Mm-hmm. And that suited you better?
Well, I couldn't see my way to move again to enough, so I just stayed. But my big thing was I got to play basketball or baseball or whatever in the gym after school hours, you know, and then come back to eat about 10 minutes before time to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I never learned to get out of there. You know, like most of the girls would have time to get their hair fixed and their clothes just right and their nails and all that, but I didn't do that. I just liked the way I did it.
Were there actually some competitive sports for women?
We didn't have too much like they do today. We did play with Fairbanks High School girls basketball, and we played badminton with them. We played softball in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played Anchorage maybe once a year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How was that relative to what the men were doing for their team?
Oh, they had basketball and they had hockey and I don't think they had much, I can't remember baseball much, but it was a lot of hockey and a lot of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
No track. We didn't have any track of any kind. Washington had a big track.
Was there any skiing, or was that something?
Oh, yes. People went out skiing.
But not on a competitive basis?
Not that I remember.
Mm-hmm. Well, how long were you in school in Fairbanks?
Do you have to ask that? I was there a little bit long. I can't remember the year that I was staying there for Christmas when I got a call from Mr. Goldstein. He's a fur buyer, and he said, "I have a charter to Beaver, and why don't you come and be my guest?" And so I went with him to be home for Christmas, and so we were snowbound. And when I came back, I was so busy with the business part of the Trojan. Is that what it's called? The annual they had there? No.
No, it's something else. There was a Nanook.
Nanook. No. It was something else, I think. I'm not sure, but I happened to be in the business part that year. I remember John O'Shea being on it, and Earl Beislein. And I remember Dr. Robe poking his head in this little tiny office we worked out of, and he said, "Miss Yasuda, aren't you going to be taking your tests?" And I said, "I don't think so, because I just came back, and I haven't been able to study." And so he said, "Well, it's up to you." And so I didn't take any of the tests, being so carefree,
mm-hmm.
and found out I had all F's because it was end of the semester. But they don't do that now. I mentioned this to my granddaughters. "You better be careful. Don't do that." And she said, "Why?" I told her the reason. She said, "They don't do that anymore. They can get an incomplete, and that's all there is to it. It does not pull their grade average down." But well, that didn't seem to bother me. So when the census thing came out, and I heard about it, I thought, "Oh, I want to take the census, you know." So I took off from school again without making any, you know, not talking to any of the professors, and made my way to Aaron's office and talked with them, and I was given the job right there. So I went up north and took the census, and again I had all these horrible marks, but it didn't bother me until it was time for me to graduate, and I was just sick because Carl Franklin called me in and said, "You're in great trouble. You've got to get all A's to even get a grade average." So, but I worked it out, and I really worked hard, and I had to get all A's. I remember being a little bit upset because they used to put your grade, the grades would be put in the dorms with your name even, you know. And somebody, and I said it was Alice McCamey, but she denies it. She said, "No, I did not do that. I never said anything like that." And I said, "Well, Flora was too young. She couldn't, Mary was gone, so it had to be." She said, "No, I didn't." But this voice said, "Hey, Hannah made the honor roll." I knew it. I knew I had to make the honor roll. By that time, you know, I was very serious because I didn't want to embarrass my father again. And so I graduated. So I graduated in 1940.
Mm-hmm. And your degree then was in?
In teaching.
In teaching.
And in P.E.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in home ec. I had three majors.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I lived there long enough. I also taught Dr. Ryan's P.E. classes because he had nothing else to give me to earn my credits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing else offered. So he gave me a P.E. class for two semesters.
Oh. Now that's Dr. Ryan, who eventually became Commissioner of Education?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I really liked him.
Mm. Hannah, can you tell us the date of the article that appeared in Alaska Magazine about your experiences as the census taker?
I think it was January of...
the current year, then?
Of this year.
1990.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I think. I just really remember the cover of a white fox. It's a beautiful cover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting and well-written article. I think we've all enjoyed reading it a lot.
I would like to write more, but so many things going on now that with my grandchildren and with a lot of other things that we're kind of slower, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it takes
mm-hmm.
a long time to do things.
Well, it's getting on toward 4. I wonder if we might terminate this and pick up at a future point someplace to get from your education completed to your career and then get us up more into the contemporary period.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be interested, too, in your recollections about your dad in that war period. Because I think that's something that would be of great interest long term.
Yeah, I think that maybe if I have some kind of a little outline, you know, now that I know you're going to talk about.
Sure, we can leave you a copy of these.
That I could maybe, you know, have this list and not get off the track, because I think I did meander around, that maybe I should have stayed.
Well, we can always work that out too, thanks to computers and things like that. So we're going to end our first interview
then
right now.
That'll be fine.